Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana, statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, obviously, this is not Aaron Flint. It's former Congressman Benny Reberg, former Lieutenant Governor, former state legislator, and I'm honored. You know, when you're elected to Congress, you only need 50% plus one vote, and then you're somebody right away. You don't necessarily have to earn your way up. You just got to get enough votes. But the next person I'm going to introduce to you earned his way up, General Paul Vallely, two-star general. Paul, welcome.
Well, thank you. Happy to be with you this morning.
Oh, thank you. And first of all, why don't you just give a little bit of history of what you did on behalf of the people of America serving in the military?
Well, thank you. Well, I came from a small town in Pennsylvania. Went to West Point in 1957, graduated in 61, went to Airborne Ranger School, and went to the 82nd Airborne, two tours in Vietnam. And my last 20 years, I was in Special Operations. I was a Deputy Commander, U.S. Army Pacific. And then after that, I joined Fox News for 8 years. I was their first military analyst 1 week after 9/11. So now I'm chairman of the Stand Up America U.S. Foundation. StandUpAmericaUS.org, and today we continue to write plans that we have been providing President Trump, for example, Operation Sinaloa to take down the cartels and also the restructuring of our U.S. military. So that's what we're focused on now.
Do you travel much now, or is it pretty much over the phone? Who have you talked to most recently? Obviously, you don't want to tell us what you've been talking about. I wouldn't ask you that question. But how do you fit in with the Department of Defense? Or what do you think? Do you think Pete Hegseth is going to make the grade or not? And just talk a little bit about some of the things that you're working on now, who you're talking to, and the Department of Defense.
Sure. Well, the plan that we've just provided President Trump is the restructuring of the military. We want to undo all the duplication of the staffs, make it a command-driven military force based on future threats to America. We want to change the Department of Defense to the Department of the Armed Forces of America, get rid of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, maybe appoint a five-star general that reports directly to the president. And so there's a lot of changes in there that have to be made. We've got to get recruiting back up. We've got to rebuild our forces for the future. And so my staff is very busy continuing to upgrade that plan for President Trump, and also Operation Sinaloa to take down the cartels and put them out of business. So we're very busy. We have a great staff across the country. I don't travel that much anymore. I just hit my 85th birthday a couple days ago. And so I don't travel as much, but I travel as necessary.
Not many of my age group went into the military, so I certainly respect what you're doing. And I hear the music in the background. This segment's over. We're going to go to an advertising opportunity, but I'm going to bring you back, General Vallely, because I really want to talk a little bit more about the Department of Defense, where you've seen it have been and where do you think it's going. So if you'll stick with us, we're just going to take a short break. Thank you.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunshine across the area for today, high temperatures will stay in the upper 40s to around 50. For tonight, clear and quiet, with low temperatures in the upper 20s to around 30 degrees. And the outlook for Friday does call for more sunshine, with high temperatures from near 50 in Bozeman to about 53 in Billings. Clear and quiet into Friday night. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombley.
securing America.
Speaking out for the first time since the election, U.S. Border Patrol Chief Jason Owens tells Fox News the past fiscal year that ended in October saw 1.5 million encounters, 250,000 known gotaways, 106 individuals hitting the FBI's terror watch list, and more than 520 gang members, of which 27 were tied to the violent Venezuelan gang Tren de Aragua, which he warns is a major threat.
It is one of our top priorities, just like fentanyl. Tomorrow it may be something else, but today it's TDA and fentanyl.
The chief also says it's been a tough year, with four agents losing their lives in the line of duty and 646 assaults on agents.
It's been exhausting, but there's no place I'd rather be. Being here and being in the fight with my brothers and sisters in green.
But Owen says he's ready to stay in the job if the new administration needs him. In Eagle Pass, Texas, Griff Jenkins, Fox News.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Hey, are you...
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, welcome back. This is former Congressman Denny Reberg filling in for Aaron Flint, who has been out of the country the last 4 days. He'll be back in tomorrow. We have an app, KBUL app, and our phone number here is 406-294-0970. Paul, earlier in the week, I had one of my best friends on. He turned down an appointment to West Point. He wanted to get an engineering degree out of Montana State. He got a master's in economics. He got a doctorate in space physics, and he finished his last 12 years teaching at West Point in space physics. And so you're probably lucky you didn't have him. He got one B in his entire life, and he was a tough teacher. But one of the things that Dave and I had talked about, and I've, of course, been to Iraq, Afghanistan, Kuwait. I would always go up and visit my appointees. I'd appoint young men and women to West Point. I'd go up and visit. But one of the things we talked about was the changing of the military, building communities in places like Baghdad, and or using special forces. Do you have an opinion on that? I've never really talked to you about, you know, what do you think the military ought to look like if we're in some kind of a excursion into places like Russia or North Korea, South Korea? What do you want it to look like from your perspective?
Well, we certainly don't want to get involved in these unnecessary wars like Vietnam and Iraq. Iraq was never any threat to the United States, nor was Vietnam. But these excursions have cost American lives, robbed our treasury. And so my plan that I've given Trump is a refined plan that really streamlines the armed forces. And it affects all elements of the armed force, Space Command, Navy, Air Force, Coast Guard, Army, Air Force. And what we're trying to do is eliminate a lot of the duplication of the staffing in the Pentagon. As you can imagine, you have the secretaries of all the services. They have their own staff. You have then the military side of things like the Army, Air Force, Navy, and so they have their own staffs. So it's really overburdened by the staffing, and we can save a lot of money there. Also, when we look to the future, we want to make sure we have the right units. Warfare, as we knew it before, was Army, basically ground forces, air power, naval power. But now we have almost three or four add-ons. We have space threats now, satellites that will be able to fire nuclear weapons. You have cyber war now, information warfare being conducted continually. And then you also have bio warfare, like we saw with COVID. When you look at the battlefields out there, whether it's in the Middle East or Far East or whatever, you have to take into account all these different spaces of fighting today. That's why we need a streamlined force, and we need to really strengthen our special operating forces that you got to see when you were overseas in the Middle East. So these are a lot of the changes that we've recommended to President Trump. Also, get rid of half of the political appointees. We don't need them. And also half the generals and admirals. We don't need all these generals.
I was going to ask you that question. Do you come down to the side of cleaning house? Because it seems to those of us from the outside looking in that it's real top-heavy. And you really want to pay attention to the young men and women who want to go into the service and serve their country, as opposed to all of these birds floating around that seem to have a lot of self-importance. So I'm glad to hear you say that. You know, when I was appointing people to the various academies, surprisingly, everybody wanted to go to the Air Force Academy. They were wrong, because Top Gun was actually Navy, but they wanted to go. And one of the things I did is said, you know, if all you're looking for is a free education, then forget it. You're not there. I want somebody that wants to lead men and women. And the other thing I kind of pushed, and you hadn't mentioned it, but the Merchant Marine Academy. Kids ought to look at that as well. There's great opportunity to go into the Merchant Marine Academy.
Yeah, well, the other interesting thing, we formed the MacArthur Society last year to fight what was happening at the academies, particularly West Point, where they have pushed CRT, DEI training rather than merit training. And the worst violator of that has been the Air Force Academy, where they've gone into LBGQ. They have areas for color of LBGQ, and they completely have put rot into our military academies, and the generals and admirals have bought off on that. So the MacArthur Society, now we've stood up and say, hey, no more of this. West Point does a lot of great things, but we don't need to infect our students with this left-wing ideology that they put in to the academies, and all of this, these social programs that they pushed on our troops. That's why a lot of them got out early. And, of course, then the COVID, which was a terrible thing that happened in the academies, forcing our cadets to get the vaccine. Many of them stood up against it. Some of them left because they wouldn't take the vax. And so when you have that at the academies, I hope President Trump replaces all the superintendents of all the academies and put them in with command-driven people that can develop warfighters for our country. And that will restore the morale, and it will help include the recruiting, for example, will go back up again, because people want to join because they have good leadership finally.
I was lucky enough to serve in Congress with the woman who was in the first graduating class of women at the Air Force Academy. Heather Wilson eventually became the Secretary of the Air Force. How do you think that's working as far as having women in the Army, Navy, Marine Corps, and such? Obviously, we're running out of time, so we're going to have to talk quick.
Okay, well, we need women. We've always had women. We just don't want them in the infantry and the special ops units. They're great pilots. They're great in intelligence, medical, so there's a lot of fields. But we just finished an article on that, by the way. I'll send you. But we don't need them in the frontline units like that.
Well, General, thank you for joining us today. You've got my respect. You're a great man, and thanks for all you did.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
King or queen for the day on housing policy and regulation, what would you do? I, for one, would resist the urge to add more policies. There are dozens and dozens already, many of which are expensive and totally ineffective. I'd pull the plug on things like the deductibility of mortgage interest on federal income tax, which do nothing to affect the home ownership rate and actually help people buy bigger houses. I'm especially leery of adding policies that help people afford housing. Not that people don't need help for affording housing, far from it. But such policies don't lower housing prices, they support low-income households. My King for the Day directive would be to focus on actions that boost housing supply. In fact, if people are talking about things that don't impact the supply, I'd table this discussion. We need to start measuring our performance in permitting new housing across cities, and then prod those places to make progress. Growth restrictions are too popular for many places to do it on their own. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
This is House Call for Health. The anticipation is over for Spotify users, music fans eagerly awaiting the drop of their annual Spotify Wrapped list, which is now out. The project summarizes each listener's music history for the year, capturing everything from their favorite artists to their most played songs, favorite genres, and more. Researchers say the way the information is presented helps spark engagement among users. Besides captivating marketing, Spotify Wrapped can trigger elements of social psychology. Some analysts compare this sensation to something called optimal distinctiveness theory. Dr. Ashani Banerjee is a Clemson University clinical assistant professor and social psychology expert.
We want to feel like we belong. We want to feel like we are part of a group. But at the same time, we have this kind of competing motivation where we also want to feel unique and distinct and different from everybody else.
For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks at with Lane Nordlund.
The Montana Stock Growers Annual Convention is underway in downtown Billings. Kicking off the general session this morning is agricultural meteorologist Brian Bledsoe. And he says that it could be a little tougher winter than it was last year for Montana farmers and ranchers.
I think the main thing that we have to focus on is that really, what is this dryness and drought situation going to do? Is it going to linger? Is it going to get better? And is it going to get better now? I think a lot of folks are looking at what they're having to deal with currently, and we haven't had a whole lot of cold weather. We haven't had a whole lot of snow in a large part of the state. Is that pattern going to pivot? And I think it's actually going to. There are some things taking place in the Pacific Ocean right now that I think are going to make it more conducive to not only us eventually getting colder, especially in January, okay, and also wetter than what we've seen around here. And I think that those are some things that I was trying to hit on back in May. You know, we didn't have really much of a winter last year, but there are going to be some times this winter where I think we're going to have to buckle up a little bit.
So my read on that, maybe buy another load of hay and have it in the haystack just in case this severe winter becomes more apparent in the coming weeks. Again, the Montana Stock Growers Convention underway at the Doubletree and Northern Hotels here in Billings. I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, this is not Aaron Flint. Aaron's been out of the country recently. He'll be back tomorrow. But this is former Congressman Denny Reberg, former Lieutenant Governor and former State Representative, filling in for Aaron. It's been an honor. Earlier on in the week, we talked a lot about veterans and the military, and most recently just had a General Valley on. But we're honored to welcome the Montana Grain Growers Association. Are you with me?
Okay, I didn't hit the right button. Are you there now?
Oh, I am. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, sorry about that. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself? I'm a stand-in for Aaron, and I do everything exactly as Aaron does. I'll be glad that he's back. But Allison with the Grain Growers, welcome. Good to have you.
Yes, thank you. Thanks for having us, and good morning, everyone. I'm Allison Bergeron. I'm with the Montana Grain Growers, Executive Vice President. I've been with them for about 4 years. Prior to that, I was with Senator Steve Daines as the ag liaison and field representative. And I hail out of God's country in the Northwest, where there's plenty of lakes, trees, and mountains. So, honored to be on this morning. And
you don't really think of Western Montana as a grain country or farming. You know, you kind of think of Malta or Ekalaka. I got 300 acres of wheat on my place just north of Billings. Tell us a little bit about the agricultural production and the grain growers in your neck of the woods.
Yeah, so I'm out of Great Falls. That's where our main office is. So I'm right in the heart of the Golden Triangle. But I do originally come from Polson and was raised on a farm that was homesteaded in 1910. So my roots go deep. I grew up riding in a combine with all the guys in my family, and just honored to be now here in the Golden Triangle advocating for wheat and barley growers on both the state and federal level.
That's amazing how many people do or have come from Polson. My daughter taught up there. She taught high school Spanish.
Yes, she did.
Yeah, Mark Baker was from there. He played in sports, and he's in Helena now. I do a lot with him. And my former chief of staff, Eric Iverson, for 12 years, was from Polson. So you've turned out a pretty good crop, not just of grain, of people up there as well. Was water an issue for you when you were growing up on your farm up there, or is that not part of where you farmed?
Not part of where we farmed. We were primarily dry land. Wasn't, as far as irrigation and pivots and flood irrigating, that was not our lifestyle. But I've learned a lot since now being, you know, right off of the Fairfield bench in their irrigation.
Well, Allison, give us a little history of Senator Daines as far as your responsibilities when you were working for him. And why don't you go into a little bit about what's going to happen in the legislature from the perspective of the grain growers.
Yeah, so I was honored to work with the senator. I was on his campaign side in 14, and he was very successful in that election. And then I joined him on the official capacity here in Great Falls. I served as the agricultural liaison, traveled the state representing him for agriculture, as well as kind of handled those north central counties from Browning to Malta. So got to work with some wonderful county officials, kind of in that north central part of the state, as well as agriculture across the state. So everything from sugar beets to cattle and everything else in between.
Do you have barley growers as part of your association as well, or do they have their own association?
We do. Nope, we represent both wheat and barley. You know, we've done some advocating for any sort of small crops as well, and we do some mustard policy every once in a while, and we've just, as the times have diversified, so we have our crops. So we're also not only are my farmers wheat and barley farmers, they're also pulse crop farmers and oilseed farmers and all the other things, hemp farmers and all those other things. So we are you know, our focus is wheat and barley, but I would say there's probably not many guys on my board of 28 gentlemen that are solely wheat and or barley. So
well,
we are growing and times are changing.
Yeah, we're going to take a little break here in a minute. I assume that you have a lot of people that raise barley for beer as well. Maybe we can talk a little bit about some of the companies that are doing business with you up there. I believe you have a facility outside the city of Great Falls. Actually, I went for the grand opening when I was a congressman. And so I've kind of quit drinking beer. I do the NA beer now, and I'm always looking for a good NA beer. Maybe you could make a recommendation of a product that comes from the Golden Triangle that are some of your members as well. But we're going to take a quick Fox News break, and we'll be back with you in about 60 seconds. Thanks again, Allison, for being with us. Boyd, are you there? Allison and Boyd. I hope Allison's there.
I'm here.
Okay, and let me hit Allison as well.
Allison's here.
All right. Boyd, welcome. We've been talking to Allison a little bit about the grain growers and the convention. Is the convention over?
No, we still got another full day and then the president's banquet tonight.
Okay, well, what have you been talking about specifically at the association, and have you brought up the legislature and the things you're going to be doing up there?
Right. The past 2 days we've been up at the Pacific Steel Recycling Center, our second year having our convention there, and Clayton Lohr is our vice president, and he's been in charge of the convention, the chair, and he's done a magnificent job bringing in mental health, all kinds of crops. Just coming together as a big group.
Good. Taxation, has that been an issue for you?
Yeah, we had our policy meeting yesterday, and we said a little bit of policy and hopefully get it into our resolutions about taxes and keeping the debt tax down where it should be.
Well, one of the worries we've had is, you know, as the cost of residential taxation has gone up, as a, maybe as a result of the Yellowstone television series, they talk a little bit about maybe pushing some of the taxes off on agriculture. Has that been a concern? Have they talked about that? Or do you feel very confident you'll be able to control the cost of taxation on farms and ranches around Montana?
Actually, I'm glad you brought that up because the Governor Gianforte was there last night and gave about a 15-minute speech on his budget and trying to get the taxes down for our Montana citizens so they can put that into the economy instead of into taxes. And he gave a great speech, and we were very proud to have him there.
We talked briefly about beer before we cut off on the break. What companies do business in Montana that buy quite a bit of your barley for their beer product?
Well, there's Molson Coors, there's Anheuser-Busch, and then there's Malt Europe here in Great Falls. And Malt Europe is pretty unique. They make malt for the distillers as well. And so it's a great outlet for our farmers because if it's higher in protein, they can put it into that source for distillery. And so it's a great fit for Montana.
Well, back in the old days, I worked for Congressman Ron Marlaney back in Washington, D.C. and in Montana. And one of the things he had me do is always check the price of wheat on a daily basis. If I didn't know that, I was fired. Where's the price of wheat today?
It's holding. Oh, the cash markets are holding around $5 and spring wheat's around $6. Like to see numbers go up. We had a rally in October that got everything about 75 cents higher than that.
Oh, great. Well, Boyd, Allison, thanks so much for being with us. Have a good convention, and to the Montana Green Growers, you do great work. We love having you in Montana. Go forth and make more beer.
Provide. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, obviously, this is not Aaron Flint. It's former Congressman Denny Rehberg, former Lieutenant Governor, State Legislator, filling in for Aaron. He'll be back with you tomorrow. He took a few days off with his spouse, and I'm glad to have him back. This is a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. I got on the air with me right now, Corey Swanson. Corey, welcome.
Morning. How you doing?
I am well. Why don't you tell the listening public a little bit about who you are, what you've been doing, and where you're going?
Sounds good. Appreciate having me on. So I'm currently the county attorney in Broadwater County. That's Townsend. I've been doing this job for 10 years. Before that, I did a variety of different legal things and political things. Back in the day, I was fairly involved in statewide politics, but you know, when you become a county attorney, you tend to get focused on your county and your court docket. But I decided to run for the Montana Supreme Court, and so it's been just over a year ago I started that campaign and then won the race for the Chief Justice. So we are in the process of transitioning. In fact, today we're interviewing applicants to be the replacement county attorney for the county commissioners to appoint. And then I'm working on all the things I need to do to move to the new job in Helena and start that beginning of January. So it's a busy time right now. I don't think we'll get any extended family vacations around Christmas, but hopefully I'll get all my work done so I can finish one job and start the other one.
Well, how long a term is it, and what are the responsibilities of the Chief Justice? You know, we hear a lot about Chief Justice Roberts in Washington, D.C. I'm not sure we hear a lot about the Chief Justice of the Montana State Supreme Court, so maybe you can talk a little bit about the differences, the similarities, and what will be your responsibilities and how long will you serve in that position?
You bet. So it's an 8-year term. You know, most of these federal judges are lifetime appointments, and you know, we are elected positions or vacancies if there's a vacancy, the governor fills them. And so we run every 8 years, and there's 7 members of the Supreme Court. There's 6 associate justices who mainly are just focused on cases. They do have some additional responsibilities, but the chief, my job will be to do all the administrative and leadership parts of for not just the Supreme Court, but the entire judicial branch. So, you know, presenting the budget at the legislature. And then there's a lot of duties as far as within the operation of the court, who assigns, you know, I assign who writes the opinions. Sometimes judges have to be substituted, and I do that. Sometimes I do it. It's, you know, every lawyer issue, it's complicated, more complicated than it probably needs to be. So sometimes I do substitutions, sometimes I don't. And then sometimes a member of the court can't be on an opinion for some reason, and so I may have to bring up a district court judge to sit with the Supreme Court to do an opinion. So there's a lot of those additional responsibilities, interfacing with the legislature, and then there's various boards and commissions that I appoint people to. But obviously, the big part of the job is still, like every other justice, hearing cases, reading briefs, deciding cases, writing opinions, and that doesn't change regardless of which member of the court you are.
Where did you go to law school?
So I went to University of Montana in Missoula. I grew up in Montana. I didn't really want to. I traveled a bit. I was in the Army and deployed a couple times to the Middle East, and I had a desire to kind of see the world. And you know, a deployment to Iraq will kind of take away that desire to see the world. You just want to get home after that. And so I knew I wanted to live in Montana, and I just applied to one law school. Somehow I got in and went there and have practiced in Montana my whole life. And then, like I said, the only times I've really been gone is military, or I worked in Washington, D.C. one summer for Conrad Burns years ago. So a little bit bouncing around, but this has generally been, it's always been my home and always where I've come back to.
Well, you know, when I was in Congress, I was on the Foreign Ops Appropriations. Also was on the Judiciary, where I had U.S. Supreme Court justices come in. And they actually came in and asked for raises, and I turned them down. I thought they made enough money. But the one thing I noticed, Corey, is I was traveling around the country, whether I was in the Congo, the Sudan, you know, the Amazon. The countries I went to, they all want to be like America, but they don't want to do what America does. And when they say that, they set up a presidency, and usually it ends up being a presidency for life. They set up a legislative branch similar to Canada or England or parliamentary, but invariably they never set up a judiciary. And I think that that's what makes America great, is you have 3 distinct branches of government, and the judiciary is not under the thumb of the president, and I think that's a good thing. As a county attorney, did you run on a party platform? And if so, is it going to be different now that you're a Supreme Court justice, Chief Justice? And I assume you want to be as nonpartisan as possible, looking at the law as opposed to looking at politics.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So counties they vary across the state. Some have partisan offices for their county officials and some don't. Broadwater County is nonpartisan. So, you know, as you know, I have a background working in Republican politics, but I ran as a county attorney in 2014. At that point, we just had an interim county attorney, and really what I was focused on is just making the office run better and doing a better job at prosecution. And so that's my focus. That was my focus and has always been my focus. So the Supreme Court position is also nonpartisan, and there were kind of overtones of there's no way to completely remove politics from any elected position. And so there was always overtones of that in the campaign, of the conservative versus the liberal candidates. But I was consistently telling people throughout the campaign, no matter what audience I was talking to, my goal when I get up there is to just be as fair and impartial as I can, correctly interpreting the law, and not picking sides, not deciding if I like or dislike a particular policy the legislature passes, not if I like or dislike the lawyer. It's just be as fair and impartial as I can be. And that's certainly my goal, and it will be my goal every day that I'm working there.
Well, I married my lawyer. She wasn't when I married her. We've been married for 46 years, and I give her a hard time about being an attorney. Thank goodness she didn't go to Missoula, because she said, I'll go anywhere you want to move to. And I said, well, I can't ranch in Missoula, so let me check with Ron Marlene and see if he'll pick me up. And I went back there. And I've always noticed that the Montana Supreme Court, in my estimation, and I can say this because, again, I'm not an attorney. I'll never stand before you, at least I hope I won't, is it's always had a more liberal bent to it than a conservative bent. And I'm glad to see that Montana is kind of changing their politics. What do you see at the Supreme Court level that needs changing, improvement, that you're going to keep the same? Are you going to keep the same number of employees? Who do you have? How many do you have? Just talk a little bit about the court itself and how you intend to run the court. And again, I know it's nonpartisan, but are there changes that need to be made to make it better reflect the laws of Montana and the direction we're taking as a state?
Yeah, so first from the administrative point of view, so I've spent a lot of time with learning the personnel structure that supports the court, and I've actually been impressed that it's pretty lean. They do, basically the court administrator supports all the district courts across the entire state. The era we're in is more and more electronic stuff in the courtroom. Everybody, you know, a lot of cops have body cameras. Juries expect to watch body camera video or patrol car video, or, you know, if there's...
Well, sounds like we lost... sounds like we lost Corey. Just a minute, please. Are you there, Corey?
I am.
Okay. Well, somehow we lost you.
Yeah, I was in the middle of something brilliant. I don't know what it was.
Well, you're talking about body cameras.
Well, so the technology investments that happen in the courtroom for computerized records, all that, that's something where the Helena crew supports that IT across the state. So in terms of personnel change, you know, I told people this when I took over an Army unit a couple of times, and our goal is always to figure out exactly how things work before we break them. So my goal number one is to learn things from stem to stern, and then figure out how we can improve. I know there's efficiencies. I know there's innovations that we can do at the court and statewide with all the courts. And that's kind of a long-term effort, but I want to first get in and make sure I don't break things. From the point of view of how the court does its job, I have consistently believed that the court needs to be restrained and not activist. And by that, I mean, decide the case in front of you narrowly. Don't decide the case because you want to kind of affect the next three cases. Because when you do that, your law is inevitably going to be less accurate. That approach kind of goes, there's a much more expansive version of that, but that's going to be my number one approach into the court.
Thank you for being with us today. Unfortunately, we're going to run out of time, but I'm real proud of you, and I look forward to a very successful state Supreme Court under your leadership as the Chief Justice. And congratulations on a campaign well run, and go forth and do the job of Montana. Thanks, Corey.
All right. Thanks for having me on.
You betcha.
Chronic migraine is 15 or more headache days a month, each lasting 4 hours or more.
Botox Onabotulinum Toxin A prevents headaches in adults with chronic migraine. It's not for adults with migraine with 14 or fewer headache days a month. It prevents, on average, 8 to 9 headache days a month versus 6 to 7 for placebo.
Prescription Botox is injected by your doctor. Effects of Botox may spread hours to weeks after injection, causing serious symptoms. Alert your doctor right away, as difficulty swallowing, speaking, breathing, eye problems, or muscle weakness can be signs of a life-threatening condition. Patients with these conditions before injection are at highest risk. Side effects may include allergic reactions, neck and injection site pain, fatigue, and headache. Allergic reactions can include rash, welts, asthma symptoms, and dizziness. Don't receive Botox if there's a skin infection. Tell your doctor your medical history, muscle or nerve conditions, including ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease,
myasthenia gravis or Lambert-Eaton syndrome, and medications, including botulinum toxins, as these may increase the risk of serious side effects.
Ask your doctor and visit BotoxChronicMigraine.com or call 1-800-44-BOTOX to learn more.
Fox News Commentary.
California Attorney General Rob Bonta encourages residents to rat out stores that don't have gender-neutral sections for kids. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
The world of business moves fast. Stay on top of it with the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday. Fox Business reporters, anchors, and hosts will bring you beneath the stock market speculation and boardroom drama to tell you about the biggest business stories of today. Whether you're on Main Street or Wall Street, Fox Business is invested in you.
Listen to the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
Never mind the fact California has a crime crisis. The attorney general is more focused on important matters, such as enforcing the state's bogus gender-neutral toy aisle mandate. Attorney General Rob Bonta issued an official memo encouraging residents to report stores that fail to comply with California's ridiculous gender-neutral order. The law, signed by tyrant Governor Newsom in 2021, requires large retail stores with 500 or more employees statewide to have a gender-neutral section for toys. The mandate is supposedly designed to create a more equitable and tolerant environment for children. Failure to comply results in escalating fines of $250 for the first offense and $500 for each repeat offense. Retailers in California are already squeezed to their limits with inflation and the price of labor. Now the AG wants tattletales to help enforce yet another business-crushing, worthless virtue signal. I'm Tommy Lahren.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunshine across the area for today, high temperatures will stay in the upper 40s to around 50. For tonight, clear and quiet, with low temperatures in the upper 20s to around 30 degrees. And the outlook for Friday does call for more sunshine, with high temperatures from near 50 in Bozeman to about 53 in Billings. Clear and quiet into Friday night. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
If you love them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music.
Ah, this is mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play again.
Check today at nhtsa.gov.
Oralsurgery.com or like us on Facebook.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, obviously, this is not Aaron Flint. I'm sitting in here for him today, the last day. I'm former Congressman Denny Reberg of Montana. I was the Lieutenant Governor and the State Legislator. I'm joined today by...
Julie.
Ann.
And Jen.
Jen. And welcome, Julie. I haven't seen you in a long time.
I know. It has been a minute, hasn't it?
It has been a minute. Yeah. A lot of grass has grown. Why are you here today? What do you want to talk about?
Well, Yellowstone Valley Woman magazine, which is who I'm with, decided to partner with Child and Family Services to provide Christmas for foster kids. You know, when a foster child enters the foster care system, it's very often, you know, just with the clothes on their backs. And so... we know at this time, you know, even if a child is in emergency foster care or an established foster care, those families sometimes have a tough time, you know, providing that little extra. And so we want to make sure that every child has, you know, the ability to have the magic of Christmas, even, you know, and especially due to all the trauma they've already experienced.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah.
And how many years have you been doing this?
Well, it's called the Empty Stockings Campaign, and it's been in Billings for, going on 5 decades.
Mm-hmm.
We just got involved about 4 years ago and really felt like because of the magazine's mission for adoption awareness, it was just a perfect fit for us to help Child and Family Services out, especially when you've got so many kids in the foster care system. They needed a boost, and we were so happy to be able to partner and provide that.
And Jen, how did you get involved?
Through the magazine or?
No, I actually work for Child and Family Services. So I was one that called Julie and convinced her to say yes, which was wonderful. So we've been doing it for, I've been there for 11 years. So part of it that long. But like Julie said, she's been kind of our host of this project for the last 4 years and it's grown. So this year we have 427 kids on our kids and some caregivers on our wish list.
I was going to ask you that. Are you able to fulfill all the need that's out there? Or do you have...
we need help. So that's why we're here, to help spread the word. There's a lot of gifts that still need to be sponsored. You can go to the website, which is Yellowstone Valley Woman Magazine.
No, YellowstoneValleyWoman.com/stockings.
Okay. You can mess it up every time.
It's okay. It's a long one.
And then there's the stories are also printed on a tree at Metal Arc Brewing.
Yes.
So that's another place to go pick up a story, grab dinner, and then you could return it to Metal Arc Brewing, Iris Salon, which is over by Josephine Crossing, Century 21 out on Shiloh, Boot Hill Inn in the Heights, or at the Child and Family Service office. And if you go to Metal Arc to return it, they give you a free beer.
Okay. So. Well, I see your magazine on calendars around the city.
Yes.
Is that website in the magazine as well?
Yes. We actually have a spread, this current issue, where we feature some of the child's wishes, just to give people a taste of what kind of, you know, presents they're wishing for. And so we have about 25 wishes in there, but we have a website, you know, the website printed in there just to say, hey, there's 427 wishes. These are just the tip of the iceberg. So please visit the website and you know.
Well, I've got your magazine on my counter as we speak. My wife.
Are you allowed? Are you allowed to admit that? Being
yeah,
a man.
Yeah. Well, my wife picked it up, and I hadn't cleaned off the counter yet. Real quickly, why don't you give the website again?
YellowstoneValleyWoman.com/stockings.
If they're like me, they heard it the first time, they had to run out, get a piece of paper and a pen.
Please
contribute. It's a great program, and every kid deserves recognition during this Christmas holiday. So,
amen.
Ladies, thank you for coming in today and sharing.
Thank you for having us.
You betcha. Bye-bye.